Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
We all make investments in life, right? So we all make investments, whether you're young or old, we're making investments in something. For many of you here today, you've made investments over time during your working years so that you could save money so that you could retire and so that you could have a little bit of money to work on after you've retired. There are some of us, Kevin, you and I included, we're still in that working and saving part. We'd really like to be to that retiring point. But for every hour you invest in that job, for all those years, you may have earned a pension. You may be paying into a 401k, all with the hopes of that investment paying off and growing so that you can have income in retirement. That would be a good investment, right? That would be a good investment. We invest time, a lot of us, we invest time every week in work. How many amens can I get with that? You're like, work, really? Amen? But we invest that time because that helps us pay our bills, that helps us support our families. A lot of us, we invest our time in our families. And the way that looks like sometimes, if you've got little ones, it means going to work and coming home and having dinner and going immediately to Little League, right? Yeah, or it means taking them to activities. Maybe it means bringing them to church, but we invest in our families because it's important to us. We care about them, and we want them to have all the support that they need so that they can live a healthy life. Those are good investments, good investments. There are also bad investments out there. There are good investments, and there are bad investments. Some people make the decision to invest in lottery. You know, and they'll spend their money on the Mega Millions, and the government will even sponsor the lottery. Like here in Ohio for decades, the lottery has been tied to, well, if you spend money on the lottery, it will go to help pay for education, right? So it'll pay for the schools. But I have yet to meet anybody who's independently wealthy from winning the lottery. And if any of you are, come and speak to me afterwards because we'd like to talk to you about tithing. I haven't met anybody who's become independently wealthy investing in the lottery, and I have yet to have the government ask me to stop paying my property taxes to fund schools. It hadn't happened. The promise of getting rich and paying for the schools is out there, invest your money here, but it's never happened. So really, to me, investing your money in the lottery is a bad investment. And you know what I find in this world is that there seems to be more opportunities to make bad investments than there are good investments. You hear people like investing in a certain stock on the stock market, and they went from investing $1,000 and overnight the stock launched off and they're like millionaires. Can I get one of those investments? I never seem to be able to find those. I'm always putting my money in the stock that, you know, loses money, and I wind up owing money afterwards. There are more bad investments, it seems, in this world than there are opportunities for good investments. Good investments, a good investment is something that will pay off in the long run. You will get more out of it in the future than you put in it today. A good investment will produce something of true value. A good investment is just harder to find a lot of the time. This morning, I want you to keep this whole concept of investing in your mind, in the back of your mind, as we focus on our passage this morning. I want you to turn to John chapter 10 in your Bible. John chapter 10, we've been here before, and we're back in John chapter 10 because there's not one, but there are two revelations by Jesus about who he is in John chapter 10. And we're going to start reading this morning John chapter 10, verse 11, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus is in the temple, and he's talking to the temple leaders. And as he's talking to them in John chapter 10, verse 11, he says, I am, there's that phrase again. He keeps on saying, I am. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when the hired hand sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock of sheep. Children, the animal, the sheep, The wolf attacks the sheep and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I tell you, I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. I know my sheep, and my sheep, they know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. So this summer we've been focusing on what it means to have Christ living in us, haven't we? We've been really deeply focusing on what it means to live out, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives within me. We've been defining what that looks like. We've been studying the I am statements of Christ. And Andrew, I think we've got a summary of what we've covered so far this summer on the next slide. I'm not going to read through all these, but since Jesus says, I am, fill in the blank, that has a direct implication for who we are and what we get out of Jesus as we are disciples of Christ. If we are truly growing in Christ, church, we will be becoming more Christ-like. Amen? If we are truly growing in Christ, His identity is going to impact our personal identity. And His I am has an impact on who we say we are. It has an impact on my I am, doesn't it? And so we've been mining the scriptures to figure out what this impact looks like in each and every one of our lives. And so today we're focusing on Jesus' proclamation in John chapter 10, where He says, I am the good shepherd. And so here's the main point right here this morning on this slide. Everybody go like this. Since Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Do I have all the kids doing this? Since Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, we are filled with confidence as we live in Him. Since Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, we, His followers, can be filled with confidence as we live in Him. Are you living confidently today? Are you living confidently? Are you confident in your faith this morning? Amen. Can you confidently say that Jesus is your Savior this morning?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Confidence. Confidence means that we're certain that something is true. I have confidence that a hole is not going to open up and suck me into the ground right now. I'm pretty confident on the ground on which I stand this morning. I am confident. I know if I walk out that door, I'm not like going to get sucked up by the earth. I'm confident because I am certain that that ground is true, that the concrete under that ground is true. Confidence means we will have a high level of certainty that something is going to happen or something isn't going to happen. I have a pretty high level of confidence that the sun's going to be out by the time we get out of church. And I have a hopeful confidence that it's not going to be raining tonight at 6 o'clock when we're at the Vince's. I don't think it is. The weather forecast says there's only a 10% chance of rain. So I have a 90% chance of confidence that it's going to be good weather for tonight. And if not, we'll all get baptized. Confidence. A big problem, I think, in the church today is we have a lot of people running around who call themselves followers of Jesus, but we lack confidence in our faith. We lack confidence. We lack conviction in our lives. We act the part in the church, but inside there's really uncertainty. We say we believe, but in our hearts we doubt. Right? We have doubt. We lack conviction. And then we wind up walking outside the walls of the church after a great service like this, and the culture of this world seems to steamroll us. And we find ourselves on our heels, and we find ourselves struggling to live this life that Christ has called us to. When we decide to follow Jesus, when we commit our whole heart to live for Him, He becomes our good shepherd. He becomes your good shepherd when you decide to follow Jesus. And since He's the good shepherd, we are filled with confidence, with an assurance, with just a confidence that nothing can get us. Because, you know, Jesus defeated death, so not even death can defeat somebody who's a disciple of Christ. You should live confidently if you're a follower of Jesus. And so this morning I've read this passage about Jesus saying, I'm the good shepherd, and we read what he says there. And I got to just really meditating on this passage, and I thought, you know what? The passage in the Bible that really helps us understand how Jesus is a good shepherd and explains John chapter 10 is Psalm 23. We all learned Psalm 23 in Sunday school. And if you've ever been to a funeral before, that's probably one of the most familiar passages that is spoken at a funeral. And I think that Psalm 23 helps us understand why people who know Jesus as the good shepherd are filled with confidence. And so this morning, I just kind of want to read that for you. If you want to turn to Psalm 23 from John chapter 10. It's in the middle of your Bible, but you'll know these words, even if you haven't been in the church for a long time. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. And as we read this, think about how these words give us confidence. Okay? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup, it overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life as I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We all know that one, right? We all know that one. It's probably one of the most familiar passages in the Bible. It's a passage that we hear at funerals. But you know, the more I read Psalm 23 is more about living than it is dying. Amen? Amen. Think about that. We read that most of the time at funerals to help us in the midst of some of our toughest days. Psalm 23 is more about living than it is dying. It paints the picture of a good shepherd and helps us understand what Jesus means in John chapter 10. When he says, I am the good shepherd. So I think there's just a couple of really simple points I want us to pull out this morning as we look at John chapter 10 and Psalm 23. First of all, the first point I think that we get is a good shepherd is invested in his flock of sheep. A good shepherd is invested in his flock of sheep. Think about it. The good shepherd, whether he feels like it or not, 6 o'clock in the morning, Monday, whether he feels like it or not, the good shepherd gets out of bed and he makes a little coffee and shakes the cobwebs out and he goes into the pen and he gets those sheep and he leads those little sheep out into the green pastures, right? The good shepherd, he does it every day. He does it faithfully and he leads those sheep into the green pastures so that they can eat and gain nutrition and be healthy sheep. A good shepherd, he will stay out in the hot sun watching those sheep throughout the day. And he leads those sheep in the heat of the day to the water so that they can quench their thirst and stay hydrated. A good shepherd in the midst of danger, in the midst of crisis, he doesn't run away. He stays. He stays with the sheep. Now, the scripture tells us, Jesus says, a hired hand will run. When the pressure's on, when danger lurks, when the wolf comes, a hired hand will turn and run because a hired hand doesn't care as much about the sheep as the good shepherd does. He does not care about the fate of the sheep because a hired hand is not as invested in the flock as a good shepherd is. Now, my family will attest to this. I'm a lawn snob. I think I got it from my dad, who's here this morning. I like my lawn to be mowed and look a certain way. Amen? Amen. Stephen says, yes, Father. I'm picky. I'm really particular about caring for my lawn. When I mow my lawn, I care how it looks because it is my lawn. It's mine. And there are little things about when I mow my yard, there are little details I tend to that my boys never do when they mow. I love it when they help me mow because sometimes I don't have time to. But there are little nuances, little details that I'll do when I mow. And you know, when I mow, I'm the kind of guy where I'll mow the yard. You know this, Bill? I'll mow the yard and then I'll look at it and I'll mow the whole thing again before it looks good. So, you know, they're like, Dad, it's mowed once. Why are you mowing it twice? Because I want it to look clean and I want it to look cut. It's my yard. But if they do it or somebody else does it, it just doesn't seem to have that same level of detail or care that I require. Because they're just mowing the lawn because Dad told me to. It's not their lawn. They're not as invested in the project as I am. Can I get an amen, Dad? I'm invested in it. It's mine. I care a little bit more because I'm personally invested in it. I put a little extra effort into it because I'm invested. I may go over a couple of areas a couple of times. When I'm done mowing the lawn and I put the mower in the garage, I know that the job's not done because then I go get my trimmer out and there I go around and I trim all the edges so it looks clean and nice. Hint. Just kidding. The good shepherd cares so much, he would lay down his life to protect those sheep because he's personally invested in them. A hired hand would say, they're not worth that. That sheep is not worth that effort. That sheep's not worth my life, so I'm going to run the other way. The wolf could eat me. That's the attitude of the hired hand, but the good shepherd says, no, that's my sheep. I've got to rescue my sheep. And in the same way, a good shepherd is going to care more for his flock. A good shepherd is going to care more for his flock because it's his. This leads me to my second simple point this morning. Because the good shepherd is invested in his flock of sheep, he knows the flock better than the flock even knows itself. He knows his flock better than anybody else. Jesus says, I know my sheep. Okay? I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. A good shepherd knows his flock from the biggest to the smallest. He's familiar with each and every one. He knows all the little idiosyncrasies. He knows all the little details. He knows which sheep is the strongest sheep. He knows which sheep is the weakest sheep. He knows which sheep seem to stray the most. You know, because there's always that sheep that's always kind of wandering off, has a little bit of sheep ADD, hasn't taken its medicine and just kind of wanders off. He knows that sheep. He also knows the sheep that are the most dependable. He knows that there are sheep in the flock that if he has to go chase down the sheep that's wandering away, he knows that there are several in that flock that are just going to do what they're supposed to do, even when his back's turned. He knows every single one of the sheep in the flock. He knows those sheep better than they know themselves. He can tell just by looking at the sheep, oh, it's time to get them to water. Or, oh, it's time to set them down and rest. He knows what they need. So the shepherd knows the sheep, and the sheep know the shepherd, right? The sheep know the shepherd. They know his voice. They know the shepherd's voice. It's the voice that guides them into the green pastures. You know, one of the most familiar sounds in our household, Pastor Vicky talked about it last week, dinner time. You can get all sorts of action when you yell that out in our house. When the sheep hear dinner time, they're all coming. We have this cat. It's the neighbor's cat. And I go out on the porch and I sit on the porch and I read in the morning. And that cat will hear me come out on the porch and dart over and think it's going to get fed. That cat knows me. I guess that cat thinks I'm its shepherd. But really, I'm a hired hand because I don't care that much. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. They know the shepherd's hand. Okay? They know the shepherd's hand. It's the hand that will pick them up when they're in danger. It's the hand that will comfort them when they are scared. It's the hand that will feed them when they can't feed themselves. These sheep, they know the shepherd's voice. They know the shepherd's hand. They even know the shepherd's smell. They know the shepherd's scent. They can identify. Animals aren't stupid. And animals use their sense of smell. Sheep are pretty stupid. But they even use their sense of smell to detect when they're in a secure place or in a not secure place. So they even know the shepherd's scent. It's the scent that lets them know that they're in a safe place. They can smell safety. They can smell security. True sheep know the shepherd, and they can instantly detect a fake. They can instantly detect a fake. So a good shepherd's invested in the flock. A good shepherd knows his flock. And finally this morning, third point, a good shepherd provides for his sheep's every need. He provides for the flock's every need. First verse of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Talk about a confident statement. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He leads the sheep. Sometimes he knows they need to rest. He lays them down. He protects the sheep from danger. He's the kind of shepherd that will go after the one and leave the 99 because he cares so much, because he's providing protection for those sheep. He provides comfort to the flock in times of stress and fear. We read that in Psalm 23. Sometimes that comfort and that assurance comes in the form of being there with them in the valley of the shadow of death. You know, friends, we've all gone through it. We all go through it when family members are going through health situations and even when death takes them. And at that moment in time, it can feel like we've been totally abandoned by God. But God does not abandon us, even in those moments when we lose our loved ones. He is there with us. And we may not sense it in the moment because we're so overcome with grief and loss. But when we get on the other side, we look back and we can sense, he was with me. Even though I was so overwhelmed and even though I was so consumed with what was going on in my life, the Good Shepherd, he walked with me through the valley of the shadow of death. He provides comfort to the flock in times of stress and fear. Sometimes the way he provides comfort is he provides a table in the presence of your enemies. Sometimes he provides exactly what we need. Exactly what we need when we need it. Before we realize we even need it, he's providing it to us and helping us because he's the Good Shepherd. He loves us. He cares about us. Because Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd, you can be filled with confidence. Amen? Because he is the Good Shepherd, we can be filled with confidence. But here's the crux of it all this morning that I want us to see as a church. The only way we can truly have this confidence, the only way we can truly live in confidence and gain the benefit of the Good Shepherd is if we truly allow Jesus to be our shepherd. We've got to truly allow Jesus to be our Good Shepherd. You see, the sheep have to yield to the shepherd's authority. The sheep have to yield to the shepherd's authority. You can know Jesus is the Good Shepherd. You can know informationally that yes, he says, I am the Good Shepherd. I read that on the page, Pastor. I get it. He is the Good Shepherd. You can know that he's the Good Shepherd, but you can only be filled with confidence when you do what the psalmist says in Psalm 23:6. Because if you go and you read that, it says, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And sometimes when you look at different translations, that word and is as. Okay? Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life as I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's a condition that's built into this. Goodness and love will only be poured into our lives if we dwell in the house of the Lord. We can't expect to gain the benefit of the Good Shepherd if we're living outside of his parameters for our lives. And sometimes I think we get that all messed up some of the time. Goodness and love will only be poured out into us if we dwell in his house. If you come to my house, you're only going to benefit from my hospitality if you live within the rules. And if you don't abide by the rules of my house, you're not going to be there for very long. Because I have particular things that need to happen in my house. Right? Amen? You know what I'm saying? So if you don't yield to my rules, the benefit of my hospitality will be short. And this is where I want you to see, and it's up on the screen this morning. There's this correlation that happens in the spiritual life. You see, the deeper, and I don't want you to miss this morning, the deeper our commitment to Christ goes, the more our lives will be filled with confidence as we live our lives in him. You get that? The deeper our commitment to Christ goes, the more confidence we will get. We will receive in our lives. Shallow commitment to Christ, shallow level of confidence as you're living your life. You're always going to be nervous. You're always going to be fearful. You're going to be full of worry and anxiety. Shallow level of commitment, shallow outpouring of confidence. They correlate with each other. Deep commitment to Christ, submitting to Him, obeying His will for our lives. Deep commitment to Christ correlates to a deeper level of confidence and assurance and power and poise to live in this world and face whatever it throws at us. The deeper we go with Jesus, the more power and poise we are going to benefit from that relationship, the more confidence we are going to have. So here's the simple takeaway this morning as we wrap up things today. Jesus has invested very deeply in you and I. Jesus is invested in you. And I want you to think about this. Jesus gave up His position as God, as deity, because He cared so much about you, the flock. He's invested. You know somebody's invested when they give their time, their blood, their sweat, their tears, right? Those are signs that they're invested. My friends, Jesus is invested in you and me. He's not just paying lip service. He got down and dirty in the mud and the muck. He became like us to save us because He cares so much about us. He didn't have to do it. There was nobody telling Him He had to do it, but a love for humanity drove Him to give up all of His power, all of His honor, all of His glory, and to become one of us. Just a simple schmuck like you and I. That's what He did. Amen. He's invested. He gave up His divinity. Jesus is invested in you. Jesus died for you and for me. Talk about investment. He didn't just give up His deity. He gave up His life for each and every one of us. Because He knew that in giving up His life, which wasn't easy for Jesus, by the way. I think sometimes we read the Bible and we think that we make it really easy for Jesus to do all this. It was a struggle. Think about how hard it would be for you to give up your life for somebody else. It was that hard expanded for Jesus. But He gave up His life for you. And as I point out here, I'm not pointing out generally to people. Think about yourself. Jesus died for you. Jesus is invested in you. He's deeply invested because He loves you. And the question for us this morning, if Jesus is so invested in us, how invested are we in Jesus? Do we pay Him lip service and live in shallow confidence? Yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to church. But then we go out and we get steamrolled. Or are we willing to yield to the hand of the Good Shepherd so that we can live more and more confidently in our faith? Because the more we yield to Him, the more confidence we're going to have to live in this world. I think there's this interesting thing that happens when we choose to go deeper in Christ. Every time, and I want to just boil it all down to the essence, every time we choose the path of righteousness, every time we choose to do right, He pours more confidence into us. Amen. Every single decision that we make, when we choose to do the right thing, He pours more confidence into us. It's not the pension that we've worked on that gives us real confidence. Pensions are running out of money all over the place. You read the paper lately? It's not the lottery ticket that's going to give you confidence. It's not choosing to bow to that temptation. We all have that weak link in our chain. It's not choosing to bow to that temptation that makes us more confident. If anything, that makes us more doubtful. It makes us more weak and more full of anxiety and conviction and guilt. That's not what confidence looks like, friends. Every time we choose to go our own way and to bow to temptation or the things of this world, we are being sapped of our confidence. Choosing righteousness, choosing to live the right way, choosing to live Jesus' way, is the best investment you and I can make. The world's going to try to tell you all sorts of lies and say, invest here, invest there. There are a ton of bad investment opportunities out there, church. But I've got an insider trading tip for you this morning. If we choose Jesus, if we choose to live for Him, if we choose to live rightly, the payoff is huge.
Amen.
Into this life and into eternity. Because when you accept Jesus as your Savior, eternal life doesn't begin after you die. Eternal life begins right now. We're living in a new spirit, in a new power, in a new poise, in a new confidence, in a new ability, and just a new way of living and looking at things, because we know who has us in the palm of His hand. When you boil it all down, we're all making investments to gain confidence. Pension? That'll make me feel more confident in retirement. Lottery ticket? If I win, I won't have to worry about anything anymore. I'll be confident, financially independent. Jesus is the only place we're going to find what we're really looking for. He's the only place. And many of us have made decisions in life, and we're making investments in things that we think will bring us confidence and peace and assurance and happiness. But it is only in Jesus that we finally realize that that's the only place we're going to find that true confidence, because He's the only one who can give us what we really need, because He says, I am the good shepherd.
Amen.
Are we doing all we can to invest in Jesus and what He's revealed to us in our lives? Are we choosing to live in victory and confidence by living right, living the way Jesus would have us live? Or are we going to keep making bad bets? Because bad investments really aren't bad investments, they're bad bets. How are you going to live your life? Do you want to live in confidence, or do you want to live in fear and anxiety and just continually to struggle and pursue that peace, that assurance, that confidence that only comes from the good shepherd? Since Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, He does all this stuff for us. He provides for our needs. He protects us. He's invested in us. And since He is the good shepherd, we, His followers, enjoy confidence, enjoy power, not earthly power, heavenly power. We enjoy poise to be able to stand in faith in the midst of life's crises. How do you want to choose to live? What investment are you going to make in your life? You're going to make the good investment, or you're going to keep on making bad bets? The opportunity is before us right now to embrace the good shepherd.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.